Oh, another loser. And not just the way they lost, but they just did not pass the eye test. So, welcome to the 12 Saturdays podcast. I am James Bladel. With me again is Tori Brecht.
Howdy, y'all.
And of course, our man in Omaha, Bill Delahant.
Hey, gang.
And we are still stinging from the loss in Evanston to Northwestern, the overtime loss. And I'm trying to keep a lid on this particular podcast because our iMessage chat got a little, let's say, a little feisty over the weekend. Sunday was a little bit of eye bleach on Sunday, and so I would say to you guys, can we do this and still keep our explicit language rating? Can we still do this and be PG?
I think so. Suffice it to say, we were all drinking and we were all unhappy. So, you know how that typically works out.
It's a form of group therapy in a way, commiserating like that. But Bill, let's start off with, dispensing with the actual formalities. Bill won the picks because he actually predicted a Northwestern win, a close one, 19-17. So, I think you're making us all look silly at this point in the gnome of knowledge, Bill. All I have to say is, what do you have to say for yourself, man?
I mean, I wish it wasn't so, but I feel like I got my finger on the pulse of this team, and it's just barely beating. I don't know. I wish I could say, well, we're going to beat Ohio State, and then it would happen, but I don't think that's going to happen.
It sounds a lot like a conversation we had after the Penn State game last year, with the opposite effect in my mind that at least in every single game that Iowa has lost so far this year, it's been just a series of shooting themselves in the foot. I wrote about this in my column this week. The thing that really just strikes me as odd is that, I'm the kind of guy that likes to tip my hat to the other team and say they play better. And, everybody's trying. So you don't just focus on your team's errors, but just error after error, unforced error. Just ugly, ugly football to see.
And I think that this year, the 2017 Iowa Hawkeyes are just a team that shoots themselves in the foot. I mean, they don't tackle well, and they haven't since the Wyoming game, and they can't run the ball well, and that's not a recipe for a lot of wins. And
I'm going to push back on that, though, Bill. They've given up 19, 17, 16, and 19 points.
I'm going to say the defense
given up less than 20 points a game in your entire Big Ten season, you should be at minimum 3-1.
Yeah, I got to say the defense in at least this particular week was not the problem. And when you guys, I think Tori, you texted the group that in the group text about Jewel and Snyder both being out, I was ready to believe the worst. And the defense was not the problem. 9 or 10 points in regulation, you should be able to do something with that.
I don't think it's like that, though. I think that the other teams are able to just march it down into the red zone and the defense tightens up, but there's no turnovers. I mean, how many times did Northwestern punt? Just time-consuming drives where Iowa couldn't tackle, converting first downs. Yeah, it was ugly, and I don't know. I don't think that that's a sound defense. The scoring numbers look good, but the rest of it doesn't. I mean, Penn State had 7,000 yards.
The scoring is the only thing that matters. You're here to win football games, not to, have gaudy defensive stats. If you can give up less than 19 points a game for your entire Big Ten season, you should be winning games, period. I mean,
well,
that's
but to Bill's point, though, is that, there is one element, I think, of Bill's point. Some of these teams are just turnover prone and are having picture perfect days against us. And I'm looking at Michigan State and now Northwestern. How is it that everybody gets healthy against our defense?
Oh, you think that's, what was the score of the Michigan State? You think scoring 17 points was what they had in mind when they got into that game?
I mean, they didn't turn it over.
The bottom line is if you can't score at a reasonable rate, then you guys are right. You shouldn't employ that bend but don't break defense. So that's the part of it. But that bend but don't break defense should be winning you games is what I'm getting at. And I mean, this is what Iowa football has looked like under both Parkers. It's not going to change. And it's very effective as long as it's complementary to even an average offense. I mean, that's what's driving me nuts. And then on the other hand, I mean, Iowa keeps getting down into the red zone and then again shooting itself in the foot. I'd argue that again proves that what you do between the 20-yard lines is pretty much irrelevant if you can't, you know, finally put it into the end zone.
I don't know. I don't think this looks like a Norm Parker defense. Remember, a Norm Parker defense, we would go whole seasons where running backs didn't get 100 yards on us and you know, Justin Jackson. Going back to the North Texas guy who was a stranger, Wyoming's guy. I mean,
But that was on one play, though.
And here's the thing, Bill. I don't think it's scheme, because it was really interesting in Scott's Dockerman's Atlanta 10, or no, it was Lesicow. I can't remember. Anyway, it was in the Register, I think. Mm-hmm. The one long run, you know, where they got like 25 yards that basically set up their go-ahead touchdown at the end. Ben mm-hmm. Neiman basically said Amani Hooker told him to go to the wrong spot. So it's been communications issues, penalties. The worst play of the game, as far as I'm concerned, was not catching that punt. Okay, I can't even remember exactly when it happened, but it was right before Northwestern got the go-ahead score. Sure. The punt returner standing at like the 20-25 yard line, has a clear beat on the ball and just lets it go over his head, rolls down the two. Iowa kicks from crappy field position because their offense can't do anything, and Northwestern takes the go-ahead score.
See, that reminds me, Tori.
The dropped passes.
That reminds me of when Jonathan Parker tried to lateral out of bounds or something. I don't know what he was trying to do in the bowl game. But to me, the backbreaker was the false start on 4th and inches. And I don't mean to, like, slam Werfs. I know he's a true freshman, and we don't get many of those starting on the line. And somebody said, well, Northwestern is, was barking out a bunch of signals and made him jump. Well, good on Northwestern then. You know, that's what they're going to do when they're facing 4th and inches with the game on the line. So,
it's the self-inflicted wounds.
Yeah.
This is so funny that you guys have your own play that kind of sealed it. And mine was the Clayton Thorson scramble on, what was it, 3rd and 19.
Mm-hmm.
Again, going back to my point about the defense not being sound.
But that was some type of miscommunication, too, I'll guarantee you, because I was screaming at the TV, what happened to the linebackers? I think they both went and covered the same guy or something. I mean, I just find it difficult to think it's a scheme issue. It's people,
well,
players, just making bonehead mistakes.
It's certainly not a scheme issue when the ball hits your tight end completely uncovered in the hands and he just drops it.
right?
I mean, wow. Noah Fant was, reliable as hell for that whole time up until, like, the moment that we actually needed him to just grab the football and just... You know, you don't have to run with it. You don't have to score with it. Just grab it and fall down.
And what is that our tight ends just go away for whole quarters at a time?
Well, Bill, to that point, and then Tori, maybe you can explain. I'm kind of naive, I guess, when it comes to football. And I know, Bill, you coach football. I believe that every time you are on offense and you have a possession, your goal should be to score a touchdown. And I don't know that that's always the case with this offense. It seems like sometimes they're trying to chew clock, sometimes they're trying to flip the field, sometimes they're trying to... What is this running wildly into the front of the defense 3 times in a row? There was that one drive where every play went backwards.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't get it, man. I mean, are they outthinking themselves, or am I just football stupid?
Well, I think that's my biggest argument with the coaching. And I wanted to touch on this. I didn't get a chance to in my column this week, but this, I think, was the first time when I feel like the pressure or Brian Ferentz just outthought himself. This was not a good day for him. Zero swing passes to Wadley, no pitches. It's just like trying to impose your will at some point becomes insanity when it continues to not work. And I think I am very hopeful that this will be a big learning experience for him, and we'll move on and pick up some lessons, because it was bad.
he had the mea culpa after Michigan State, and thank God you didn't have to see that Michigan State game, but it was the exact same thing as this game, same score even, where, you know, in the bye week when they were talking to the coordinators, Brian Ferentz straight up said, that was my bad. I was getting too cute. You know, I'm going to work on some things. I don't know. Didn't happen over the bye week, that's for sure.
Yep.
But it did against Illinois, though. I mean, and that was after the Michigan State game. So it's almost like a relapse, I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
A regression. So at what point do you just say, look, I can't play as though I've got the Iowa offensive line that I always counted on in past years, that I always dreamed I've had, you know, where I've got one, maybe two guys that are going to have these long NFL careers? Maybe we don't have that. Or maybe we have it and it's Boone Myers. And, you know, he's sitting on the bench with an injury, you know, but this crap with running Wadley into the defense, you know, hoping to loosen up the defense over the course of four quarters, all you're doing is loosening up Wadley.
Well, and what bothers me about that too, Jim, is they even said they wanted to get Torrin Young more involved in the game too. And why they refused to use him in short down situations. I'm thinking of, wasn't there at least one like fourth and one where they got stuffed as well in the first quarter? Why not let Torrin Young try to get that? That's going to be his role eventually. It's not Wadley's strong suit. I mean, are they that paranoid he's going to fumble?
Speaking of fourth down, can I just ask Bill, how many times did Northwestern go for it on fourth down?
Oh, man, I wish I had that number in front of me, but it had to be six. I don't think it was
at least
an exaggeration
five.
To say six. Yeah.
It was at least five. I just don't know if it's six or seven.
Oh, it's Iowa week. You know, got to be one of half a dozen team that, you know, for whatever reason, gets a giant heart on just to beat Iowa. I guess we should take it as a sign of respect, but it freaking gets old.
This is reason number 427 why I hate Pat Fitzgerald is 364 days out of the year, he just hates Iowa and just sees about it. But you know, in the post game interview when he actually wins, it's oh, Iowa, greatest program on earth, so respectable, have nothing but love and respect for Kirk Ferentz, and he's just gushing with compliments and praise when he gets out with a victory. But every other time, it's we're the evil empire.
I think you can hate something and respect it at the same time. I don't know, what do you think, Bill?
Yeah, I think you can, absolutely. What my question though is these teams that we get their best shots and we say, well, you know, they hate us, Minnesota, Northwestern, Iowa State. Is it that, or, you know, these teams that have no business on the field with Iowa, or are we playing the same stupid game plan and letting these teams hang around? Do they really get more up for Iowa, or do we just stay down for them?
Bill, I mean, the freaking announcers were talking about it and they were quoting specifically their pregame interviews with the Northwestern players and with Fitzgerald. Fitzgerald said he had people from Northwestern teams from like the last 20 years texting him. It's Iowa week. It's Iowa week. So, I mean, and you've heard the Iowa State people, and now freaking add Nebraska to that list.
And Minnesota actually launched into a We Hate Iowa chant while they were on the road at Oregon State. Yeah. So,
I mean, I think the evidence is pretty clear.
All right,
now, does
fair.
That translate into awesome playing? I mean, I don't know if it should.
Seems to be pretty
but,
asymmetrical, Tori, and it seems to only work against us.
You know what? Maybe Michigan fans feel that way about us. We've had their number lately, too, but I don't know. It just feels different.
Yeah. I don't know.
You know, well, what does this mean for the program as a whole, guys? I mean, look, and let's just, I don't want to rehash our, you know, marathon text session that kept me awake all night Saturday.
Good. But, Tori's language will get us an R rating on podcasting.
And some of your
photos and
memes.
By the way, I'm sorry for
memes.
Calling you guys both sad C words.
Yeah, well.
Among other things.
In Australia, that's not an insult the way it is.
Yeah, no, I meant it in the British / Australian way. Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. But it does mean, like, you know, I think with Bill for sure and me getting there is all of these old feelings that we had at the end of the 2014 season that were maybe kept at bay a little bit or given a sort of a deferral by 2015 are starting to bubble back up. And I think you see it in the fan base now is, is this what we've got now? And what's the buyout again? And how are we, is this, you know, why do we need six rebuilding years for every championship run? And, you know, and just, I don't know. I mean, Torrey, I'll give you first crack at it. I mean,
is well, okay, all well, right well? Off the bat. See, I think right, and here, there's a few things right off the bat. It's the hyperbole and the blowing things up of what I like to jokingly call the pitchfork and torch crowd. You just said, why does it always have to be 6 years between our rebuilding? 2 years ago, we were one inch away from being in the college football playoff. I mean, this isn't 6 years. It isn't 5 years.
Well, so, 2 years ago, Torrey, we were coming off of 5 years of complete irrelevancy, total irrelevancy. Right.
Okay. Now, my other point is that when you look at this particular team, it was always going to be a rebuilding year. You have a new offensive coordinator, a first-year starting quarterback, almost all new wide receivers, more freshmen starting on the team than you've ever seen before, a very difficult schedule. And here's the other part nobody wants to talk about. You know, the people that get, you know, fire Ferentz, well, it's because he loses the teams he shouldn't lose to. Well, guess what? Iowa has beaten every team that it was favored against and lost to every team that it was an underdog to. The line moved to Northwestern on this one. Michigan State was favored and Penn State was also favored. So that argument doesn't hold water. They've lost to the teams they were supposed to lose to. They've beaten the teams they were supposed to beat. So that argument is off the table as well. So when I look at a team that has this many young players who are look every the part, they can make great plays, they do stuff, but they continually shoot themselves in the foot because they're inconsistent and they're making dumb young guy mistakes. Tristan Wirfs, freshman on the line, makes the critical error.
Okay, you want to say that this is a rebuilding year, but if we won 12 games in 2015 and we won 8 games in 2016, wasn't that the rebuilding year? That goes back to the point that why does it take 5 years to get back to ranked at the end of the season?
Well, the
Big
simple
Ten
answer
West
is
title,
it's
bowl game it's, winners.
It's college football, and you're having to replace your entire roster every 4 to 5 years. And Iowa is not a great recruiting team. That is a fact.
Let me jump in and let me throw a stinky fish down that we were texting about. You know, we were so excited about our offensive line and our two-headed monster in the backfield with Wadley and Butler, right? Coming into this season. I'd trade everything we got right now for Jonathan Taylor in Wisconsin. Wouldn't you?
I don't think the running backs are the problem. I think it is the line. And that is concerning to me. I mean, yeah, a lot of them are young, but a lot of them were coming back as starters last year. So they need to get that figured out. And the thing when you watch it that drives you nuts is most of the times when crap gets blown up, it's because three of the four guys did the right thing and one guy blew it. And it's right. The consistency and the teamwork that they're missing out on. I mean, Jonathan Taylor's an awesome player. I'd love to have that talent on our team, but I don't think we're lacking talent in the backfield.
Well, Bill, can you quantify this qualitative discussion that we're having with any kind of numbers or stats? Because from my perspective, it seems like, and I'm just saying this as somebody. Look, Torrey, you've had season tickets for about 4 years longer than I have. Fine, but you and I have both been following this team week in, week out, since a lot of our listeners weren't born, right? And makes me feel old, but whatever. But to me, I feel like, you know, we seem to have these kind of flashes of competency, and then we spend a lot of time in the hinterlands, and more time than it would take in a 4-year recruiting cycle to rebuild, more time than it should take. It seems like that should be on a 2 to 3 year cycle. And it seems like when you're rebuilding, you know, the time between crests of waves is longer than the recruiting cycle, you're doing something wrong, either in coaching or development. And I don't know if Bill, if you have any thoughts on this, because I know you've been keeping tabs since Ferentz was hired.
I have. Actually, on offense, speaking about that 2015 team, coming into the season, and the reason why I picked this team to win 10 games, is because we returned six guys who either started or played really meaningful minutes on that 2015 team on offense. That was James Daniels, Matt Vandenberg, Akram Wadley, Sean Welsh, Boone Myers, and Ike Bakker. Obviously, the latter two are hurt, but still, there's four guys out there who played a lot of minutes in 2015 who aren't really playing to that level, I guess, or helping that team, the team, get back there this year. And then on defense, we had Parker Hesse, all three linebackers, and Miles Taylor. That's five guys who were on that Big Ten West team 2 years ago.
Why didn't Taylor play? He just benched?
Yeah, he just got beat out.
If by you can't Gervais? Say something nice about a guy, don't say anything at all.
No, but by Gervais, though? I mean, I know people don't like Taylor, but Gervais?
Miles Taylor, I think, at strong safety, was replaced by Hooker, wasn't he?
I've always heard that Snyder was in for the injured dude who re-injured Snyder. Yeah,
but I've always heard they've said, well, they've got three guys that can play both those roles. So I just assume that. Never mind. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
But getting back to the macro for just a second, I guess, you know, I am frustrated, and you know, losing in games where you're making your own errors is terribly frustrating. But I just feel like you guys are almost looking at it like, you know, it's like they're so close. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, they're going to play close games. And Northwestern is not the Northwestern that it used to be, that, you know, just horrendous program. You know, they've got a decent team.
Tori, they're, you know, horrendous. If they were 500 and losers in the Big Ten West coming into the game. Duke, unranked Duke. Not receiving votes, Duke beat them 41-17.
Okay, but they're not the doormat.
I mean, programmatically. I'm not talking about the specific team
either. But they're not the doormat they were in the Hayden Fry years, but they're not the Rose Bowl contenders or even the runner-ups from 2015 either. They're hurting, okay?
No, right. Absolutely. Iowa was not supposed to be a Rose Bowl contender this year, though. I mean, they were picked to finish fifth in the division. I mean, it is what it is. I guess what I'm a little surprised about is your surprise. Especially, Bill, you picked them to lose this game, and then you lost your damn mind when what you thought was going to happen actually happened. I can't square that.
That is true, though, Bill. That you did.
I picked them to lose 19-17. I thought the offense would show a little more life than they did. I mean, just the way in which it was lost was just so pathetic. I mean, if we were
past the eye test,
if we were firing blitzes left and right and getting burned on that, I mean, hey, that's ballsy. Or if we had any turnovers at all or didn't lose the turnover battle, that'd be a feather in the cap. But we just went out there and laid a turd. And I mean, we've reverted to the mean here. And I'll quantify that by saying that in the 5 years before 2015, you know, we were terrible. We were around 500. And then since the Michigan State loss, we've been 500 in Big Ten games. I think we're 10-10 since then. Don't have that in front of me. Overall, we're 12-10. So, yeah, 2015 was great, but it seems like we're kind of getting back down to that.
We're just a 500 team for the last year or 10 years.
Well, let me just ask you this, though. You talk about the eye test, though, and this is, I guess, where I really disagree, is that I think this team looks better significantly and more interesting to watch than last year's team with its Greg Davis offense and all of that. I when I see this team, I see a lot of talent that just can't quite. It's like a colt, you know, like it's not a baby horse and it's not a full grown horse. You could tell it can kind of run and it's going to be like a great racer someday, but it keeps like stumbling over its own self. And that's kind of how I look at this team. And so I can't get as down on them. I think the trajectory of where we're going and what we're trying to accomplish still looks like it's going up, not leveling off or going down.
Do you think that Saturday's effort looked un-Greg Davis life like the game where we finally, after waiting over half a season for Stanley to complete one of those long passes, we finally hit on one and then it goes away entirely for the rest of the game?
You say that, Bill, but you don't know it went away. You don't know if those routes were being run and if they were covered or what was happening. I mean, the fact that they even threw that pass was a better one. The pass that Fant blew the play on and dropped it was something we've been crying out for years. Run a tight end up the seam and let him sit in the weak spot of the zone. That's what he did, and then he dropped it. It looks a lot better than that's, Greg Davis.
That stick route for Fant where he dropped the pass actually worked for a conversion earlier in the game and was the only touchdown. So, I mean, that route was wide open all day, and of course we went to it when the game was on the line. It's just, and I hate to say it, execution. You know, you can't blame Brian Ferentz for dropping that ball.
All right, and I know the outcome was so frustrating, but that should have been 17-0 at the end of the first half.
Yeah.
Iowa just, I mean, they missed a field goal. There's 3 points. They, you know, just so many times they just wanted to keep shooting themselves in the foot.
But Tori, you said let's look at the macro. I'm going to step back and look at the macro too. At the end of the day, football, college football, is supposed to be entertaining. And even if we had won that game in regulation or overtime, and I think you even acknowledged this in the text, is that that was an ugly game. And even if we had won, it would have been an ugly win. And I'm saying that because I'm trying to transcend the fact that we lost to Northwestern, because that happens a lot with this team, and say it's the way we lost and it's the way we looked in the losing that is making me just kind of hit my head against the table. Is because, you know, I mean, and look, and you and I were joking around with this before, is that I'm having a tough time. You have 2 tickets and I have 2 tickets. We've had season tickets now for over almost 15 years, okay? And I'm having a tough time getting people to come to the game. And, you know, it's not, you know, I can't always force my kids to go. But, you know, it's like, you know, you tell people, it's like, yeah, I'm kind of busy. Yeah, you know, it sounds fun, but, you know, whatever. The weather doesn't look great. I mean, that was not the case in 2015. That was not the case in 2009. It was not the case in the early Ferentz years. It's becoming kind of one of these things where even when we win, people would rather watch us win in a bar than actually go to Kinnick, you know, and watch us win. And that's my problem.
But that is not an Iowa specific issue. No, right, but now. That's an issue not. Everywhere.
It is, and you're correct, but it is also kind of exasperating. And I would say that it's particularly true when you look at student section, is that you know, it's not that exciting to watch when your offense, even in those years that you were saying that we were great, 2015, 2009, we've never cracked the top 50 in college football offense. That makes for a boring game. People don't like to watch, you know, these.
Oh, that is such horseshit. That is look horseshit. At it. If they win, people go. If they don't win, people don't go. Nobody's gonna sit there. You are no.
People like exciting football and Kakerd and Dockerman too.
And
well,
that's,
maybe
that's
you ought to consider
thing.
That me and Kakerd and Dockerman might be onto something.
Okay, so then why don't you tell me, why doesn't Indiana outdraw Iowa with the? Why doesn't Washington State outdraw Iowa? They I'm throw the ball all over. They're like crazy.
You have to do both. You have to throw the ball all over and win.
But no, you didn't answer my question. If people will go see entertaining losing football over
Iowa
City is not winning Pullman, football. Washington. Pullman, Washington's in the middle of nowhere, and Indiana has a long, proud tradition of sucking.
If you're not throwing it at a rim with a net, they don't care. But you know, Tori, I'm just saying, like. There has to be an entertainment factor in addition to the wins and losses, and we're not hitting on the entertainment.
I mean, it's like you guys have completely forgot, like, we just did, like, a fake punt, a surprise onside kick. That was one game ago. I mean, it's like the world ended on you because we laid an egg in Evanston. Like, that happens about every 2 or 3 years. I mean, it's just a thing.
Okay. Well, let's back up for 1 second, because, I mean, if we are going to take, like, a macro view, Northwestern, for me anyway, was kind of important to getting bowl eligible this year.
Well, not only that, but staying in the hunt for the Big Ten West. We're just done with that.
That's gone.
Yeah,
and
that's
so
gone.
So what we want to look for now is we want to get to a decent bowl game with a decent opponent and actually freaking win the bowl game, right?
I mean, hey, I'll throw this out. Maybe going 7-5 and getting a team we can actually handle in our bowl, maybe that would actually be good for the program. It's funny, because Dockerman and I were just texting about this earlier this afternoon, that he thinks one of the reasons there's so much fan angst around this is because Iowa fans, basketball and football, just the last 4 or 5 years have been, you know, close but no cigar, and then a kick in the groin in the postseason. And I think he's right. We need a win that we can feel good about during an offseason. That is we are in desperate need of in both sports.
Absolutely. And so where, I guess, where do you see 7-5, or do you see 6-6? I mean, where are the rest of the wins coming from? Bill, you've been quiet for a while. Bill, you go.
I think we're going to beat Minnesota. I think we're going to beat Purdue. It would be the universe's sick, cruel joke if we lost to Nebraska, which I don't know. Maybe we can do that, but we're not good this year. We're not good tacklers, and we can't run the ball. We're not going to win a lot of games like that. And maybe we might surprise Wisconsin or Ohio State. It wouldn't surprise me. And that actually gets me back a couple topics ago. I wanted to jump in with this, which to the not fun, not exciting point is, you know, if you ask Kirk Ferentz, like, how are you going to beat Michigan's team with more draft picks than they've ever had? Or how are you going to hang with Penn State? You know, he'd say, we're going to shorten the game with ball control offense, play bend but don't break defense, tighten up in the red zone, and we'll be right there with them late. And I would say, you know, awesome. That's why you make all the millions. But then if you asked him, how are you going to beat this FCS team with no guys who have scholarship offers to Big Ten schools? Or how are you going to beat a bad Northwestern team? He'd say, shorten the game with a ball control offense, play bend but don't break. And it's just like, come on, man, blow bad teams out. That's why I'm not sure if we're going to blow a bad Minnesota team out or we're going to beat a bad Purdue team. You know,
well, you're right.
But we have blown out teams that are bad season, though. We blew out Illinois.
Hold on.
No, we're maybe saying, Northwestern, maybe they're not that bad.
Well, what you're saying, though, Bill, I get it, is that you're saying the same strategy that gives you success and keeps you in games that you have no business winning, and sometimes you do, is the same strategy that keeps you on the brink with no margin of error for games that you shouldn't be losing. And I say that because the real strength would be if you had a per team strategy and not this, we're going to be religiously dogmatic to our identity no matter who the opponent is. I think that's the problem I have with this approach.
And I have, absolutely. I share that problem.
Northwestern was giving up a million sacks a game, and I think we're worst in the Big Ten in turnovers. So why don't you just blitz Thorson all day long and let him throw up wounded ducks and intercept them and win it by 17?
Yep.
And then it doesn't matter if you jump off sides or don't catch the ball or miss a field goal.
And on that point, I was hopeful that when Brian Ferentz came over with his experience from being in New England, Bill Belichick is famous for having a specific game plan for every team. Now, college coaches are never going to do that. You know, you don't have the time. You're not with the players enough like an NFL team. But I think absolutely more in that area, have different styles for different teams. And then the other thing, you know, we always talk about it's a pro style offense. Well, I watch a fair amount of NFL football and they throw the ball around to open up their run games. I don't understand why we're so allergic to that.
Absolutely agree, Tori. So, well, listen, we've got to probably pivot away from this because I get the feeling we could do this all night. And I know, Bill, you've got a beer. I just finished off.
Can I say one thing, though, to make Bill feel happier?
Please.
Go for it.
I mean, honestly, Bill, think about the young players that we have and then look at next year's schedule and tell me that doesn't just scream 10-2 at the worst. I mean,
to Northern Illinois to open the game.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
No, I looked at their roster. They bring everybody on that team that won in Lincoln back. And we've already lost to Northern Illinois in the first game of season before with Kirk. So,
Lord, Bill, you're like a pendulum. You're like, you just swing from unbridled, ridiculous, unwarranted optimism to like the worst doom and gloom.
So, Tori, as soon as you said ridiculous, I wasn't going to post the Member Berries meme to the 12 Saturdays podcast.
You blew that joke too, Bladel. You know why that was funny on South Park? Do you know why it was funny on South Park? Because they were talking nostalgically about things that happened decades ago. So, yeah. And you're talking about something that wasn't even two full football seasons ago. So you blew that joke or meme or point you were trying to make, too. It was stupid.
Subtlety and Twitter just don't go together, okay? And Exhibit A is all the Nazi crap. So let's just pivot from this and let's try to... Do we
try to make
this?
Everybody feel happy and nobody wants to?
Do we got
to
flush this problem now? We haven't flushed anything.
Flush it.
Flushing it.
Get the plunger.
Bill's head's already in the oven. Get it out and let him flush the toilet.
Well, this has been fun. But we do have a few more games left and something of a season left to salvage. So let's put a button on this and try to pivot towards the upcoming game with Minnesota. Floyd is on the line. How could we forget? Floyd's been living in Iowa City very comfortably. He's got an apartment. A couple of sorority chicks stop by every weekend. So he's happy.
Hey. My daughter's a sorority chick. I was just at the Alpha Chi Omega Dad's weekend. Watch your mouth.
Well, those are some of the girls that go by and say hi to Floyd and watch TV and Netflix and chill. That's fine. but we don't want him to relocate to Minnesota. That's all I'm saying. So let's shift gears here. Let's look at the Minnesota game. I mean, Minnesota came out the season looking promising, but...
Elite.
You know, that kind of fizzled fast. And then certainly when we saw how bad Oregon State was, sort of reinforced
I know
that.
You told me not to go and pick back
No.
But, they got a clappy coach who really likes to be aggressive.
Well, he's also in his first year, so... We'll see how far he can actually
row.
And
he sucks, and they suck.
Well, he's rowing a boat that's full of holes, Tori. God help us if he plugs them. But actually, and let's just pivot. So we're going to rip on Fleck. The coach that we should be concerned about, and I hope he gets hired away soon, is Matt Campbell. Iowa State actually ranked for the first time in half a decade or more. So, kudos to the Cyclones. They're making us look good by beating them. So, but anyway, Minnesota, Golden Gophers, Floyd is on the line. I'm not going to be there. I gave Tori my tickets. He's going to waste them on some guy named Bill and his wife. So what do you see out of the Gophers this year, Bill?
Yeah, I don't know. Just mediocre. What are they? 3-3? Bad team. I don't know. I think we're going to rock them. And it would be so Kirk Ferentz to rock them after laying a couple turds. Yeah, I think we're going to handle them. I'm not worried about Minnesota.
Who did they most recently lose to? It was like... It wasn't Rutgers or Illinois, was it? It was
Who did they lose to? They just got their first win in the conference against Illinois.
Oh, yeah. I watched some of that game. Man, you think our offense looks anemic and sad? Minnesota's... I don't even know if their quarterback can throw a forward pass, honestly. And they're not good.
What about you, Jim? What do you think?
All right, so I was just looking. They were 9-4 last year, with their bowl game win. And who was the guy? Who was the tight end that we just could not freaking cover, even though he was their only scoring threat every down? Who was that guy?
I can't remember the name. All I can think of is Jake Butt because his name is Jake Butt.
Well, that's Michigan. So
Max something or other.
Yeah. No, he was the guy that burned us bad in 2014, wasn't it?
Well, don't leave us on tenterhooks. So is the guy still there or is he gone?
No, he's gone. I mean, everybody's gone, but it's like, without these guys, I feel like, we've probably got a decent enough shot. But I really don't know enough about Minnesota. I do, and Tori's, joking aside, I do believe that at some point, P.J. Fleck is going to get like the guys he wants. And they may not be a powerhouse in the West, but they're going to be a hell of a lot more of a problem than they are now or that they have been. And I'm just saying I'm concerned about them going forward in the long term. But am I concerned about them this week? No.
We'll just flip their program with Nebraska. Nebraska can be the perennial doormat. Minnesota can be the occasionally once great power that still can be okay.
Totally fine with that. let's do that.
Can you live with that, Bill?
Yeah, that's fine with me. I'm afraid, just like Jim said, that Fleck's going to get it going. They're going to start rowing that boat. But as it stands right now, ESPN's saying we're 78% likely to win the game. I like those numbers. I like
odds. Were they not watching?
8.5-point favorites, and we haven't lost as a favorite this season.
Right. We're going to cover.
All right. Well, let's put our money where our mouth is and make our picks. So, Bill, you're up first. Go ahead.
Let's go with Iowa 31, Minnesota 13. Torrey sits there the whole time. See, why do you want to fire Kirk? Why do you want to fire Kirk? It'll be excruciating. It'll be exactly what Kirk Ferentz's team does.
And you're picked.
Damn him for putting winning teams on the field.
who's going to click?
Let's go with Hockenson. He didn't do anything, but only in the, second and fourth quarter.
Okay. All right. Torrey is the...
that's pretty good. Actually, Bill's more optimistic on their offense than I am. It just seems like we're allergic to in the red zone. Some couple stalled drives give us some more gray hairs, but Iowa defense continues to play well, and we take out the Gopher 24-14. I would say that my pick to click... I feel like Epenesa is about due for a breakout game. By the way, he did get a lot of pressure on Northwestern one-on-one, you guys, if you were watching closely.
Okay, but what defines a breakout game for a freshman defensive lineman? A sack? An interception?
We'll go one sack and two tackles for loss.
Take it.
So I'm going to go a little bit differently, Torrey. I'm going to say 24-13. No, I'm sorry. I'm going to say 21-10, Iowa. And I keep saying this, and one of these days he's going to stop dropping passes, but my pick to click is Nick Easley. I think he's becoming like Stanley's security blanket. He's becoming the Whoopi.
He totally is, almost to his detriment. I mean, what about, Amir Smith-Marset? And I really hoped out of the bye week we could see Matt Corrals.
Yeah. What about Matt frickin' Vandenberg? Hello?
Vandenberg? Yeah. Oh, we haven't been picking Vandenberg. I just keep picking Easley
there
because Stanley seems to lock on to Easley. And,
he does.
So as long as the quarterback's locking on to Easley, then I'm locking on to Easley. So I'm saying 21-10 with Easley as the pick to click. And, somebody's got to do something, Torrey, or there's just not enough games left in the season to – get Bill to cough up that gnome of knowledge.
Well, Bill's got good predictive skills if he can be slightly irrational emotionally.
I'm starting to think that the gnome of knowledge is actually telling Bill what the score is going to be. I don't think he's predicting anymore. I think he's just relaying.
Hey, Bill, fire Kirk Ferentz.
He's a knowledgeable gnome. Just by proximity, I'm a little smarter. He's on my desk right now.
Well, look, let's hope that we bounce back. I won't be able to watch the game. I'll be in some kind of a strict Muslim country and won't even be able to drown my sorrows if we lose. So,
perish the thought. Exactly. Hey, Bill, I got a new tailgating canopy in case it's rainy or something. So I got us covered. I think I'm going to bring the fire pit, too.
Beautiful.
It's a 5:30 start, so, let's get there early. And
can we grill? Can we do brats and stuff?
Can the Pope poop in the woods?
Well, you got
snap.
The vegetarian nerd isn't going to be there, so,
Yeah, ruining everything with his non-brat eating.
Go nuts, man. Hey, I brought some smart dogs last time.
This is decidedly not smart.
They kind of taste like, sort of. They don't really, though.
If you don't have the real
pig lips and assholes, you're not really eating hot
dogs. He's making fun of my veggie dogs that I bring sometimes, Bill. So, well, I hope you guys enjoy it. I will be working, unfortunately. Let's plan on calling in and making this another podcast and a celebratory one at that next week. But let's hope that Iowa gets healthy against the Gophers and keeps Floyd at home for another year. So with that, we'll say on Iowa.
Go Hawks.
Beat Nebraska.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.